Buddy, and welcome to the Buddy Mind and Soul Podcast. Hello, everyone. If you are listening to today's episode, thank you so much for tuning in, because this podcast is kind of just a random hobby of mine at this point. It's nothing that I am expecting for hundreds of people to listen to. But I think one thing that I'm really passionate about is just being able to gain knowledge and then be able to share that. So I think that this is pretty much what this is for myself. And if you're listening, I hope you enjoy and benefit from anything that I share along the way. So before I get into today's episode, I just want to remind everyone that there is about 8 months left to sign up with Yoga with Carson Academy. I believe that they are no longer going to be continuing their online yoga teacher training. So if you're interested in yoga, if you ever wanted to teach or just expand your knowledge as a student, which is really a reason why I wanted to get into it, not only to gain more knowledge, be more educated, but to possibly teach one day and have that option as a side career or a full-time career. So the best thing about this teacher training is that it is one of the most affordable options out there. The last few months, it was around $800, and they've come out with student financial aid options, as well as a pay what you can option now, which is initially what the academy started out with during COVID. It was pretty much free or pay what you can. So it is such a great option for people that are in a tight bind or haven't been able to fully commit to spending all this money on a teacher training. It really is catered to the students. And this is why I have been such an advocate for those, because of my experience and just the way that people continue to give back to the community. So if you're interested in possibly becoming a teacher or just expanding your knowledge more as a student, this is the time right now to do it while you have about 8 months, so you have time to complete things at your own pace. I do have a code, which is BADIB200, to get $200 off. That's PAJDIB200. I don't know exactly how the code would work with the options right now, but it's worth giving it a shot, and best of luck in that journey. So I recently graduated in May, and I knew that I was gonna transition from the job that I was at. I had been there for a little over 3 years now, and it was just about finding the right time to transition, because I was going on vacation after I graduated, and when I came back, I had a work situation that was not ideal. It pretty much left me as the only employee, so transitioning out of that workspace was a little difficult because of the guilt I felt for leaving a company that may or may not have a proper employee to continue to run the business. But aside from that, I had to put my feelings aside. My boss was great in helping transition that overall. So I started job hunting in about August, and I didn't think that it was going to take this long. The experiences in my past with pretty much all my jobs is that I would have one interview and then get hired immediately. Going into the professional world or the corporate world is a completely new ball game. The interviews are more extensive. It takes a lot of effort to really stand out to company and get that first interview. So before I go into this, I've been unemployed for about 2.5 months, which is extremely longer than I thought I was going to be. The last time I was employed for this long was after Hurricane Harvey, because the places around me had flooded and I also didn't have a car. So I hadn't been in this situation in a very long time. So it's been quite the emotional roller coaster to deal with unemployment, uncertainty, feeling hopeless, financial issues, and I'm really gonna go into all the details of just the process of what interview process, application process looks like. So initially in my head I thought, oh, I can apply, get an interview in about 1 to 2 weeks. I was super confident that it was gonna be really fast, super smooth, and that I wasn't gonna be employed for this long. But the reality is that it takes 2 to 4 weeks, I would say, to really get through an interview process, application, interview, waiting to hear back, job offer, because usually once you get your job offer, it's going to be about 2 weeks after you accept. So I would plan, based on your experience, 1 month to 2 months of being unemployed for sure. So I'll start off by saying, where I was in August, I had no experience at all, no idea of how the corporate world operated, no background, and I didn't know a lot of people that were in the corporate world. I know people that have graduated, but they're in different kind of careers, not necessarily the corporate business world where you're in a huge office from 9 to 5. So that's not necessarily what I was looking for, but I know that based on my degree, the skills and career opportunities were going to be either on-site or remote. So I really wanted a remote job because I wanted to have the flexibility to travel when I'd like on the weekends and not commute into Houston since I live a little further from the city now. So in starting this new journey to my career, I had a great friend that helped me navigate the business, corporate life, how to approach interviews, how to write my resume, how to do my LinkedIn. She literally held my hand and walked me through step by step. And without her, I don't think that I would even be near where I am today. I would probably still be unemployed even longer and not receive the opportunities that I have. So a huge thank you to her because it is so overwhelming to get into an industry or new work environment that you are just completely unaware of. And yes, you could Google how to do this, how to do that, but it is so much information that it is so nice to have someone sit down and guide you where to start, because other than that, you just have to kind of piece it together yourself. So everything I've learned is either through her and through my experience, and then a few things that I've researched online. So it's just kind of a collective information. So up until 2.5 months ago, I did not have a LinkedIn. I knew what LinkedIn was, but I didn't have a great concept of what it was because I never used it. So if you're not sure what LinkedIn is, if you maybe have a LinkedIn that you don't use, having that social media presence is so important. Not like Instagram and stuff, but LinkedIn specifically, because it is a business social media platform for a company to look you up really quick, see your qualifications really briefly, see your face, really paint a picture. And that's so important because typically before or during the interview process, someone will look you up. I've had a few people, even the owners, you can sometimes see who has looked at your profile. So it's important to have that presence to give them an idea of who you are. So very briefly to go through what your LinkedIn should look like. The best tip would be to reference and look at other people's LinkedIn that have a career in the field that you want. So if you go to LinkedIn, you could type, for example, I was looking at administrative assistant or business analyst things. Just type that in the search. And then you can click on people and it will show you the people that are in this position or looking for this position. If you go to their website, you can see they have a photo. The background photo is not as important, but it is important to have a clean aesthetic and not just have it blank. Also, having a brief bio about yourself, your background a little bit, what your skills are, what you can offer, what you're looking for. And then, of course, having your education and listing your experiences or work history and having a description of your role, things that you did, tasks, etc., skills. You can either do kind of like a bullet point or just a brief summary for them to see. And then you can add your skills on your profile as well. Important skills, of course. I think the main important skills that a lot of people are looking for, depending on what company you're going to, is having all of your Microsoft Office skills, Excel, PowerPoint, Word, and then Google Workspace. It's the app or tool that a lot of companies are using nowadays instead of Microsoft. Of course, Zoom is a big one, and Microsoft Teams, knowing or having knowledge, familiarity with how to use those apps as well. And then, of course, biggest thing for your LinkedIn is to have a good photo. You'll see a wide range of photos on LinkedIn. People either have professional photos or they have selfies or just casual photos. From what I've been told, from what I see, and my aesthetic too, I do lean towards more a professional business photo. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a studio photo, but having a decent background, it's not a selfie, it's a photo taken by someone else, no other distractions really. You're dressed in professional business attire, your hair, your face looks like it's been taken care of, and just making sure that it's not super casual, because for myself, I feel like this is the first image that someone is going to see of me, and I want to present myself as someone who understands how to be professional and dress appropriately too. Okay, now going into your resume, It has completely changed from how I was initially taught how to write my resume. I was taught in high school with the standard format. Everything is like, you know, on the left side. You have your education, your experiences, some bullet points, and some brief descriptions. So when I wanted to start applying, my friend and I looked at my resume and we changed everything completely. I don't think there's anything really that stayed the same at all aside from my information, but the format, the descriptions, how it looks, everything was changed. So to go into that, you can Google resume examples and it will give you a lot of examples. But what we did for my resume is super simple and super sleek, doesn't have any distractions or fillers. So essentially, when you look at your resume, you want it to just be text. You don't want those fancy little bars or cute designs. You want it to be a white sheet with black text, and that is it. When you look at it, it should look like a big essay. It's just going to be a lot of words. And so formatting is a little different. I would say that you could do 1-inch margin or less if you have a lot of info you need to write. Standard is 12-point font. Your header is typically going to be your name, contact information, and your LinkedIn link if you have one, which if you don't, you should, because a lot of resumes do and applications will ask for your LinkedIn link. And with spacing, you can do like single line or 1.15 below double spacing. You don't have to double space because it's going to take up a lot of space on your resume and you want your resume to look really full. The goal for the resume is to fill up the entire page and have no space, to really look like you have a lot of experience, you have a lot of skills, and this is going to be more appealing to recruiters when they look at it. Another tip that I got is in your descriptions under each work experience, you're going to want complex, long sentences. Your sentences should pretty much be from the start of the bullet point, should run all the way to the end of the page or as far as you can. And also including numbers like stats, percentages, volume to really emphasize that you have a strong understanding of the work that you did and the analysis side of it. So to go into the description, a great tip would be to just Google the role that you are looking for, an example of a resume that someone has written, read the sentences, use your own skills and experiences, and kind of combine those to create a more complex sentence. So this way, if you're kind of stuck, you don't really know how to elevate your sentence, then by referencing other resumes, it helps kind of give you an idea of how to describe things and into further detail. So an example that I would have wrote previously if I had no knowledge is bullet point, provide great customer service and solve problems. And then if I rewrite it to kind of elevate it more and extend the sentence, I could write main point of contact for customer inquiries, ensure customer success by responding promptly to the situation. I don't know, things like that. You can look it up and just really go into making the sentence as complex and relatable as you can. Of course, you don't want to put too many false things. You want to make sure that you have the experience, but you elevate how you describe it. So if you're like me, you have no extracurriculars or additional work that you can show, like volunteer, internships. I just didn't have the time. I worked full-time while I did school online and I didn't go to school in person, so it was really difficult to be a part of extracurriculars unless I commuted to the university every day, which was not ideal because it's at the far side of town, so I didn't participate. And in my opinion, I don't think I need it because of the work experience I had. But if you don't have professional work experience that you can play off of on your resume, then extracurriculars and any additional work you've done would be a great filler to add. Okay, now we're gonna go on to applying for jobs. So a big tip that I was given and that I've seen others do is if there's a job that you really want, read through the job description and edit your resume to be similar to those job descriptions that they are seeking. You don't want to completely copy and paste or make it word for word. You just want it to be a similar skill on your resume so that you stand out as a candidate that would be more fitting to the role compared to someone else who has descriptions completely different. Now, I don't know how true this is, But there are hundreds of applicants that apply for the same job every day. On LinkedIn, I don't know how accurate it is either, but if a job has been there for like an hour, it'll show like 200 plus applicants have applied for this job. So again, I don't know if it's true, but I believe there's like a robot or a software that sifts through all of the resumes and applicants and chooses the one that are more closely aligned with the job description. Which makes sense because I don't think that a recruiter or two recruiters for a company have the time to get back to everyone within a week or two. So you can try this, see if it works for yourself. I personally did not do it often at all. I want to say maybe I did it like a couple times, but I was lazy and my laptop sucks. So I didn't do it. It could have probably helped me further get selected for interviews. But we choose our battles, right? So like I had previously mentioned, I didn't have any experience with the jobs that I was applying to, and I didn't have internships or extracurriculars either that could kind of zhuzh up my resume per se, I don't know. But I knew that I wanted good pay, and so I had really high expectations. The skills I had at my last two jobs would be enough to get me to a certain career where I felt content in the pay, which is, I would say, a little bit, it's average pay, but it probably is a little higher than I feel at the time I deserve. But you know, you gotta shoot high. You never know what can happen, so it's worth the try. So my background was in the healthcare industry, small business, but it was a very professional setting in the sense that I worked with patients, I understood a lot of the business operations, and I could transfer those skills and my knowledge in that role to bigger corporate jobs. So that's really what people are looking for, is using the skills that you have and being able to transfer that to a higher level. And the last tip that I can think about with applying to jobs is when you apply either through LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, the platforms I use mainly were LinkedIn and Indeed. Mainly LinkedIn though, just because I found that the postings looked more legit and I was able to really see the business's profile, where on Indeed, it's kind of sketchy, there's no photos. So I preferred LinkedIn. And so when there was a job that I saw that I really liked the benefits, the description of the job, then if there was the recruiter for the company that was listed for this job, I would email the recruiter or connect on LinkedIn. So you don't have to do this every time, but I will say that a few times recruiters did respond to me, and I do feel like it is worth just connecting and sending the message because it's not going to hurt. They're either going to ignore you or they're going to respond, which is great. So if I want a job, I would apply and then I would email the recruiter something along the lines of, "Hi, my name is Blake. I have background in administrative work. I would love to discuss further about this role in your company. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Best regards." Something short, simple, so that you can just kind of get their attention. You can, of course, go into more detail, which may or may not be great. I'm not sure. But I think having any message shows that you took additional effort to try to connect with the recruiter so that you could stand out amongst people that are just applying to a bunch of jobs, which of course you are too, but you're just taking extra effort. I would say, just because of my experience and all the anxiety that I went through, to apply for as many jobs as you can. I probably applied to like a good amount each day, but then it got to a point where it just wasn't enough. So I want to say that in general, in the 2.5 months, I have probably applied to over 300 jobs because I was getting super desperate. I was applying for everything at this point. I had declined a few job offers that I got because I thought better opportunity might come. So I got to a point where desperation kicks in and you will take anything. I was like willing to work at a job that I was overqualified for because I just needed income at this point. So with that being said, there are also so many content creators on social media, Instagram, TikTok, that focus their content on the job application, resume, interview process, as well as job offers, negotiations. There is so much information out there that is free and accessible for you to elevate your job hunt process. And it was something I wasn't aware of because I wasn't really in this market at the time. So it is pretty wild. There is so much information out there, which is pretty much what I'm doing here now, is using information I find to also create content for that one person that may just not know where to start, because there is so much content out there. And you can hear it from someone who is a complete beginner that had no experience. I feel like that makes me feel a lot better, because when I was looking into social media, it is super overwhelming with how much information is out there. So really just honing in on the small things that you can fix right now, and then go into detail once you get past all of this later. Another tip I would give that I don't necessarily have a lot of experience using, but have had the one experience that was successful, is looking into a recruiting or staffing agency. So what that is essentially, it's just a company that has recruiters or talent acquisition specialists. So their job is to help you find a job, and it's free because they are making typically commission off of you accepting the job offer, and I believe it's commission off of what your salary would be for the year, a percentage of that. So they're going to be really motivated to help you find a job, especially if you are someone with great experience and background that would fit a certain role great. Then they're going to do what they can to be that middleman for you in the company and help you get that job. So the great thing about this is that you pretty much don't have to do any work, because they'll match you up to a company. So a brief summary about my experience with this recruiting agency recently. Before this recruiting agency reached out to me, I actually applied to become a recruiter, which I never knew what a recruiter was until I started applying for jobs. But recruiting is pretty much a huge sales job, because you're trying to make a deal between a candidate and a company, and you're trying to close that sale so you can make commission. So I actually applied to a recruiting job. I got an offer, and long story short, I declined the offer because it just wasn't ideal for what I wanted for myself. And I also had another job opportunity, so I ended up not accepting it. But if you are a huge people person, if you like competition, you're willing to work over hours, and you enjoy sales, then I would look into a recruiting job, because in my opinion, it does seem like it is easy to obtain if you have really good interpersonal skills. But that being said, it's not for everyone. So back on my job search, I was contacted through a recruiting agency via my LinkedIn, and the person was a talent acquisition specialist from a company in Houston. So they reached out to me, asked if I was still interested in work and administrative work, which I was kind of skeptical, because I've dealt with a lot of scams thus far, or like kind of sketchy approaches. So I said yes, because I really needed a job. So this person scheduled me a Zoom with another recruiter at their company, and I didn't really know what to expect. I just was like, okay, I'll just meet this person on Zoom, see what it's about. I'm not doing anything. I'm unemployed. I'm at home. So what else can I really lose? So I met with this recruiter on Zoom. It was really just a screening of myself, kind of like an interview. I just gave him a description of what I'm doing, what I'm looking for, my experiences. And, you know, he just asked me questions, my salary range, what I'm looking for. And it's not like I need to negotiate with him. I kind of just need to give him the facts so that he can have a better idea of what roles that might fit me and move forward. So at the end of the interview, he mentioned that there were a couple jobs that he thinks that would fall into what I'm looking for. So it's just a matter of him reaching out to the company. I don't know if he kind of shows them my resume, they approve, but I think it took maybe less than a week. He finally got back to me, said that there was a company that wanted someone to be an office coordinator, receptionist, assistant, and it was in town. And so I was like, great. We set up the interview, I want to say in the next following days. It happened very fast, so not to drag it on too long, but I had the first interview, and then I heard back from him the same day, just to follow up. He did very well with following up with me. And then I think the next day, or maybe 2 days after, he
said they wanted to go ahead and pursue with scheduling the second interview, which is the final interview for them. Okay, so if my volume has changed, it's just because I have realized I've been kind of talking in a low voice for some reason. So going back to this interview process, I did the second interview. That is when you're going to meet people that are higher up in the company. So it can be a little bit nerve-wracking, but just prepare yourself for anything at that point because they're going to ask you a lot of questions. They're going to expect you to ask a lot of questions, but that's something that I'll go into more detail in a bit. So later that day after the interview, I did get informed that I got the job offer, and it all happened within 2 weeks. Now, this is not to say that this is going to happen for you, but it really just depends on how much you can sell yourself, how good you are with communication and presenting yourself. And if you can do that well, then I think that recruiting agency is a super easy option because they're being that middleman and they're pretty much vouching for you to the company so that the company doesn't have to go out and do it themselves. So they're hiring the recruiting company to find candidates that are not going to waste their time. It does make it a lot easier for yourself. Now, going into the interview process, what I like to do before I have an interview is to make sure that I've looked into this company. I check all their social medias and I get a good idea of who they are and what their company is about. And the biggest thing is you want to make sure that this company is legit, because I know there are a lot of horror stories out there where people have interviews with scam companies and send out their information to scam companies and it just ends up taking a bad turn. So make sure you look at their LinkedIn, you Google them, you make sure they have a website. You can look on Glassdoor or Indeed reviews to hear current or previous employees' reviews, look at their salary ranges. So it's always good to go into your interview knowing some history about the company. So of course, it should be known that whether you're on Zoom or in person, you're always dressed business professional, which just means you're not wearing jeans, you're not wearing casual shoes, you're not wearing a t-shirt, you're going to be wearing a blouse, a button-up, slacks, I think like a professional skirt maybe. I just don't have any skirts that I would want to wear anymore. I used to have pencil skirts, but even then, I don't want anything too tight because I don't want to give up, I don't know, a certain scandalous look, I guess, to certain people. So I know a lot of people also say if you have a blazer, to wear a blazer. I don't have a blazer. It might be worth investing in one or thrifting one down the road if your job is more on the professional side as well. And then aside from how you're dressed, make sure your face and your hair is professional and appropriate, not messy. You want a clean look. I actually had a recruiter tell me over the phone to make sure that I brushed my hair, and I was kind of shocked that she said that. I thought it was unprofessional for her to tell me to brush my hair because it was so specific, but her being an internal recruiter, I understand that she just didn't want to look bad to her boss if she's bringing in someone that doesn't know how to present themselves. But yes, companies will want you to look on your A-game, so you don't want to half-ass it, especially if you really want a job. Another important thing is to make sure you work on your communication and have your answers ready. So if you feel like you get nervous and you don't have the best communication, the best thing to do is to practice before your interview, a day before and the day of, is what I did. So I actually get a lot of stage fright. I've always had stage fright in school. I hated doing presentations and I would get really nervous. I feel like I would start to shake, or you could hear it in my voice. So I've interviewed before, but I feel like going into the corporate world is so much scarier because you have these people that are CEOs and presidents, and it's just super intimidating because they're going to be your boss and they run this business that is $1 million business. So the best advice that I feel like helped me so much is I will write down the main questions that I feel like they will ask at an interview, and then I will practice out loud to myself in the most confident professional way. Like, you really want to start role playing this out and make sure that you are memorizing what you're saying and confident in what you're saying so that when it comes time for your interview, you're not just sitting there like, and like thinking, because I typically do that if I'm not prepared. I'm just like, I don't know. So the best way to prepare is to, of course, Google research questions that are potentially going to be asked. For me, the ones that I worked off of were, a big one is, why do you want to work at this job or company? Why do you want this role? Because they want to hear what makes you super passionate about actually wanting to work there. And to me, that one was the hardest question to answer, because there were certain roles where, like, honestly, I don't want to be here. I just want to make money. I don't really want to work here, you know? So you really have to sell the company on why you love this job so much and why you are super passionate about coming into this role every day. And another one, of course, is going to be about yourself. You want it to be interesting. You want to have some cool facts about yourself. For me, I was kind of being boring at first. Maybe for most of it. I was just saying, you know, graduated, my background and my work experience. And then here and there, I would mention my yoga or the hobbies that I did if they asked further into detail. And then you have the standard, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? And with that question, from what I've experienced and what I've heard, is that you really want to convince the company that you're there to contribute to the company. So you don't want to just focus on, oh, in 3 to 5 years, I want to work for a company that offers promotion and offers advancement. You want to focus more on saying things like, I want to work for a company where I can bring value over the years and contribute to growing together. Just some BS nonsense at that point, pretty much. But of course, you do want to work hard and, you know, have those promotions. So at a certain extent, you are really just telling them what they want to hear and what you're actually going to prove over the years, hopefully. And a huge tip that my friend gave me that I wasn't really aware of is the STAR method. So you can look into this. I know that some people just have like a SAR method, but it's just on how to answer a question. So STAR method is going to be, when you answer that question, you want to give the situation that is occurring, task, which is your responsibility in the situation on what you're doing, action, which is the action you took in order to resolve whatever issue or conflict, and then result is what happened after or how the outcome came to be. So to me, situation and task are very similar. I kind of just combine that one together. But I think this method helps overall if you're kind of feeling nervous and you start losing the flow of what you're trying to say. It's good to have a visualization in your head of the steps that you need to go through. Because for myself, I do have my moments where I start to blank out and I'm like, oh my god, where am I going with this? Or what did I want to say? Because I get distracted easily. And so it is good to have a format and practice, memorize what you want to say so that you seem super put together. And the biggest thing that I hated doing, but it is so important because it's going to happen at your interview, is the company or whoever asking, do you have any questions for me? Because the wrong answer is saying, no, I don't have any questions for you. I don't know why. To me, I'm like, great, you don't have any questions, let's go. But companies, I guess they really want to see that you do have questions and you are analyzing this interview and the information that you have received. They want you to pick more at their intellect. I don't know. It's really annoying, but you're gonna have to make sure you have a good set of questions. I would leave it at like 2 to 3, depending on how long the answers from them are running. And again, I just researched what great questions would be to ask a company. So just following along the lines of like, what qualities are you looking for in a candidate to succeed in this position within the next, I don't know, 2-3 months, you know, something to just fill in the time, I guess. It is good to be prepared for that. And then of course, before your interview, after your interview, making sure you shake hands with whoever you're meeting. I guess now that COVID is kind of just you know, it's still here, but people are more relaxed. We are back to shaking hands, so make sure you have a good handshake and you smile, you thank them for their time, you say it was nice meeting them. Just all the little mannerisms that you show will have a good impact. Another tip that I was not aware of at all is follow-up emails. So I don't know what exactly a good time range is, but I think like 24 to 48 hours is good enough, or maybe a couple days if you feel like they've already told you, I'll get back to you in a week, maybe a couple days. But if you're not sure, then 24, 48 hours, write up an email to them. And this is really just to show that you're really making an effort and that you are reinstating your skills to them, letting them know to not forget about you. So you can look up these emails as well. They have templates out there that you can kind of follow. Just thanking them for their time and just really trying to convince them why you would best fill this role in the company. And yeah, that's it really. Typically, people will get back to you within a week or about a week. So if you haven't heard back after more than a week, it might be good to follow up on your status. It just really depends on how everything goes. I have experienced the job that I'm waiting on. Unfortunately, whoever was in charge did not update me, so I waited a very long time. I sent a follow-up email and no one got back to me. It was radio silence for over 2.5 weeks until I finally got a call to schedule my third interview. So I had given up on this job completely because I didn't hear back at all after my emails were sent, but surprisingly they called me. So I think like it's not all gonna fit into a certain format of how long everything takes, but it is a waiting game. So there might be a few things that I'm forgetting too, but if I do, I'll just write it down in the description. I hope that any of these tips help you in transitioning your career or pivoting your career completely to a new industry and help you get your foot in the door. I know it can be extremely overwhelming. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have any help at all. So I hope that this helps you in any way to get that first interview, get prepared for your interview, and get your job offer. Best of luck to you, and until next time, thank you so much for listening.